Again, if you are visiting with us today, you are our honored guest, and we are so, so grateful that you have come our way. We're thankful for your presence. Also thankful this morning, and I'm not even sure if they're here today, as I look around and I think about different things to celebrate. William and Sherry, are y'all here this morning? Are y'all trapped? Would y'all stand up? Look at this beautiful couple. They celebrated 50 years of marriage this week. And Sherry, for anybody that could put up with William that long, we want to celebrate. We are so thankful. Thank you, guys. We love y'all. So thankful. And I know there are others that have slipped under my radar. What an honor and to think about the example. One of the great beauties of, I think, how Christ expressed the love that that the church should exude, should be seen in the Christian home, that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and He gave Himself up for her. And we see that when we do and we live out what God's called us to live out. And what an incredible thought. This morning we are starting a new phase in a series of thought in our congregation. And the thought is that more than just being a Christian, we want to understand and know and think about deeply and live out purposefully the idea or the thought of what does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? And as we go from this thought, I want you to, you know, if you look through the New Testament, you're going to find that word Christian about three times. And most of the time, it's kind of like somebody calling, you know, I'm just trying to think of some slang term, but it was made fun. It was kind of a poke at those people that followed Christ, little Christ, Christians. But Jesus used the term disciple. And the idea of a disciple was different. Matter of fact, you find it, some have counted up to 281, some about 269 times that you see the word disciple used in the New Testament versus only three as Christians. But yet we refer in reference to ourselves as Christians a whole lot more than we do this idea of what does it mean to be a disciple. You know, sometimes I think we take the name on and we miss the bigger picture of what it is to be a follower of Jesus. To be somebody that says, no matter what happens, I'm taking my next step in step with His. I want to do whatever He wants me to do. I want to be who He has called me to be. And I love the idea and the phrase that Dallas Willard spoke and said this, it's learning to live my life as Jesus would live my life if Jesus were living my life. That's what it means to be a disciple. And this morning, as we start, and even in our studies on Sunday nights together, we're going to have opportunity to develop and to think more deeply about this concept of being a follower, being a student of Jesus. You remember, perhaps at the end of Jesus' ministry on earth, Jesus brings His followers together. They've been walking with Him for 3 years, and He leaves them with a charge. Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, there have been moments that I look back on and I remember being present with someone that was intentionally saying some last words to me. And maybe you've been there, maybe you've had that moment and you reflect back on it and it deeply moves you to think about. But typically when you send someone or leave someone with last words, you want it to be something of great depth. You've thought about it, and you've thought, if it all boils down to one thing I want you to remember, it's this. And in Matthew chapter 28, we find our Lord. We find Jesus after the resurrection with His disciples. And they're in Galilee. They're on a mountain. just as Jesus directed them. And he saw them, they worshiped him. Just like we have this morning, in the presence of a risen Savior, they worship. That's what disciples do. They bow before, they kiss towards. And then verse 18, a very familiar passage that I hope as we study it today, we think about being disciples, making disciples, who make disciples. I want us to think about the Great Commission. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I want you to think about that. I want you to walk with me as we look at this thought this morning, as we consider these last words of Jesus, as we think about what it means for us to truly be passionate about the things that Jesus was most passionate about, to truly look at our ministry and to our lives as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Christ, as Christians, and to say, what would Jesus do if Jesus were doing what I am here doing today? Think about it with me for a second. And think about it through this lens. I want you to think about the word amp. Some of you have seen the new beverage, right? The amp. It's probably 50 times full of caffeine and super sugared up, and it probably makes you shake a whole lot, right? Maybe it's like one of those energy drinks. Maybe you think about an amp and you think about, you know, something, you know, with the name Fender on it that you plug something into because you want it to be heard. You're doing something amazing with this, but you know it needs something that helps it to project to be heard. Maybe some of you are a little smarter than I am and you're in the realm of physicists and all of these sorts of things, and you know that the amp is a basic unit of electrical current. And you think about that electrical current and you realize that in order for the current to run through, that it has to have a connection. And as we think about that word amp, I want you to think about the idea that we have a need as followers of Jesus to make his message heard. That we as people need to share this current of goodness that God has poured out on us. That there needs to be connection with other people so that message can be conveyed or conversed across a circuit. We are blessed to be to his disciples. What about you? What about your connection? What does this amp look like as we look at the Great Commission? I want you to first think about with me, I like to do this sometimes, and I like to take the first letter and develop it out in this way. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." Why is it that we do the things that we do the way that we do the things that we do? Because in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says to Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." He says, "Peter, you said it. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God." And because he is the Son of God, that's the one that we listen to. He is the author of our authority. He is the one that we are to follow. And so when you think about authority, Jesus says, "All authority is given to me." This is his body, the church. That's why he has the say-so. He is the head of the body. And so when you think about what it means to listen or to follow the authority of another one, what does that look like for us in our lives? If Jesus is going to be my master, if he is my Lord, if he's the rabbi, the teacher that I'm at his feet listening to and learning and watching and mimicking. I was watching Roman just a little bit ago, and I was thinking, man, how little kids just imitate everything that you do. I love sitting behind little kids and making faces at them because they make faces back at you. Now, you guys over here, y'all just think I'm crazy because you're observing that same thing, but kids imitate things in such an incredible way. For me, I love that because it's really what we're called to do as followers of Christ. We watch the rabbi and we imitate his teachings. We imitate his lifestyle, his actions, his behaviors, his love for others, his willingness to serve others, even his willingness to lay down his life. I want to be like Jesus. So when it comes to being like Jesus, you got to first recognize his authority. I mean, I can't want to be like him and then just go, well, what you say doesn't matter. Well, I mean, I know Jesus says this about this behavior or this thing or how he wants this to happen, but I really prefer it to be some other way. I'm just going to do what I want to do because what you've done is now you have broken the chain of authority. You now have placed yourself and your desires over his. I'm not a disciple if I place my desires over his. I'm not a disciple of Jesus if I don't recognize his authority and his positional responsibility for leading us as the God of creation, as the Son, as the Savior, as the Lamb of God who purchased us. He's our authority. He's the one we listen to. If I'm a disciple of Jesus, I have figured out authority. I've figured out who it is that I'm listening to. Who it is that is here to guide us in all matters spiritually, in life, daily. Who it is that we're to follow. He is our authority. I love the way Peter would write it in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. A familiar passage. He uses this word oracle, or this word or this thought of an oracle, that if anyone speaks, he should speak as the very oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever. The idea of dominion means ruler or rulership. He's over it all forever. And we need to figure that out and we need to respond to that. But he says, if somebody's going to stand up and preach or speak to you or give you direction spiritually, he said, if anyone does that about matters of things eternal, may they always speak as the very mouthpiece or word oracle of God. That's the idea of authority. You're probably familiar with this beautiful passage in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 where Paul would write the church and he would say this incredible thought. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him. Oftentimes when you see that phrase in the name of, it's the idea of they have they're the final answer. They're the authority. It's kind of like you hear somebody say, stop in the name of the law. The reason you stop is because they carry the badge. And you respect that because of their authority. And Paul's writing this says, look, whatever we do as followers of Jesus, let's do it in the name of Him, bringing glory to the Father. Now I want you to think about this next one, mission. If you go back and you look at Matthew chapter 28 and you kind of count, how many verbs do you see there? What do you say? What are the things we're called to do? Everybody look at it, eyeballs on it. What are the things we're called to do if you look at that passage? Give me one. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go. Next. Make. Baptize. Teach. There they are. Go, make, baptize, teach. But in the original language, there weren't four. There was only one imperative. There was only one verb in that text. And the verb in that text is not go. It's not baptize. It's not teach. It's simply make disciples. Because see, every one of the other three are just part of the one, to make disciples. In the original, it was more of a phrase. It says, as you are going, make disciples. You know, it's kind of interesting. I try to put this together, and sometimes when we think about as you are going, we think about going across the world. This was a picture taken from a mission trip to Nicaragua. Some of you have done Christmas boxes, or you're working on them for children. This is a home. Do you see that little girl? She's one of our students at the Christian school that's getting the boxes. See, when we think about going across to the other world, side of the world, we have different views, different thoughts. When we think about home, we have different thoughts. My home looks very different than their home. And I think about that, and I think sometimes when we get mission on our mind, we think it's got to be somewhere we're going over there. But the original text says, not as go make disciples, it's rather as you are going, you make disciples. As you're going about your daily life, whether you're a teacher at Lipscomb, whether you're a coach at another school, or whether you're someone that's counseling someone, or a builder, or whatever your work is, as you are going, look for opportunities to make disciples, to help people follow Jesus. It's not necessarily just going to the other side of the world. I will share this with you. This is the congregation that meets at that Christian school, and it's an amazing, amazing scene. But missions is more than what happens on the other side of the world. Missions is really wherever you go tomorrow. It's where you work. It's where you're in school. You'll see a few of you have received special love in the screen from different things that you're a part of. The rest of you, I just don't know where you work. I would have found it, I promise. But when you think about mission, it's what God has called us to do wherever we are going. Wherever we work, wherever we are on a daily basis, whatever we do. Maybe it's as a mother that's in my home raising my children. What am I called to do and be? I'm called to help my children follow Jesus. I'm helping make disciples of Jesus because I'm showing them what it looks like. I'm not just telling them. It's not a do as I say, not as I do. But discipleship was an idea of let's walk together and you learn just by watching me. You learn from things that I share, but it's more about who I am that begins to rub off on my kids and on my family and on my friends. Make disciples. Why? As you go, that's part of our mission. I'm going to go back and I want to pull up our text here in just a minute. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus, conversation with who? Zacchaeus. He's up in a tree and he says, I'm going to your house. Why did Jesus do that? As he was going from one location to the next, he sees a guy in a tree and he's like, that guy's kind of interesting. I probably ought to talk to him. I wonder if we would have talked to him or we have thought, man, that guy's, he's a little bit, you know, he must be on something. You know, there's not safe, you know, probably not safe to hang out with that guy. And Jesus is like, I need to meet you. Hey, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to go to your house. And he does. And he goes to his house and he begins to eat with him. And he begins to talk to him. And he begins to teach him. What is discipleship? It's eating with people. It's talking with people. It's teaching people. It's helping them become more and more like Jesus. I love what Luke 19:10 says. It says this about Jesus' mission, Christ's mission. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Simply put, if that's his mission, I'm his disciple, what is my primary hope in this life? It ought to be to seek and to save people that are lost. It ought to be to have a heart for people that their lives are in such shambles that I don't just look and go, oh, it's kind of scary. I look and I go, man, how can I get into that? How can I connect into that so that maybe I can show them how Jesus would walk? Not as a place of judgment, but I'm walking alongside with you. I'm hoping to turn up the volume of Jesus in your life in a positive way. So many times people will do that, but it's not in a way that reflects the goodness and the honesty and the purity of Jesus. What they do is they just get loud. And they make following Jesus about politics, or they make following Jesus about some issue, or they make following Jesus about something else that Jesus, he said, follow me. Follow me. The mission. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, you see Jesus and he's talking to his followers and he says this in verse 28. He says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve many and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to pay a price, and he did, and he's given us that in his life. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus' mission again is restated. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom or liberty to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrated his love for us in due time, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What was his mission? It was to help lost things be found. It was to help lost people find their way. And so I love the idea of going other places and teaching the gospel to other people, but really, the Great Commission is more about as you go to work tomorrow, as you go to play pickleball tomorrow, as you go to do your thing in selling insurance or doing whatever it is that you do tomorrow, is to make disciples. That's our mission field. But not only is it about the idea of recognizing the authority of Jesus and knowing the mission that we have been called to live out on a daily basis. Following Jesus is not just about what you do on Sunday and Wednesday. It's about what you do every day. It's being like him because you are in his presence. A-M-P. I understand who the authority is. He's the Son of God. He says what he says goes. I've seen it in his behavior. I saw it in the miracles that he did through the conveyed testimony of other eyewitnesses. He's the authority. He was who he said he was. I understand his mission. He came to seek and to save me. I was the guy that was up the tree. I was the Zacchaeus. I was the freak show that everybody's going, what is he doing with his life? He came to change my life. And following him does that, because now not only am I recognizing his authority and I'm a part of his mission, I understand that I'm always in his presence. He said this, lo, I am with you always to the very end of the earth. I had a professor at Freed Hardeman. His name was David Powell. And David was, he was a wonderful guy, big smiles all the time, but he was real tense about traveling. The idea, Greg, of getting up in an airplane with you or Larry would not have happened. And I don't know, some of you may know another professor we had. His name was David Leip. And David was very matter of fact, just, you know, look it. It's the way it is, you know? And just very matter of fact. Well, David was lamenting. He had agreed to go to the Dominican Republic on a mission trip. And going on a mission trip meant he had to get into an airplane and cross the ocean. And he was not about that life. He truly believed in what Jesus said here in Matthew 28:20. And lo, I am with you always. He didn't say anything about up in the air, you know? That was Powell's philosophy. Lo, I'm with you always. All right, some of you will get that tomorrow. But the reality was, he was talking this over lunch with one of the other professors, and Leip says, look it, David. I mean, what's the deal? You know, you get on the plane and you go to the Dominican. If you don't, you go to heaven. What's the big deal? Either way, you win. I'm thinking, what a great thought. Either way, you win. You get on the plane, you go to the Dominican, or you go to heaven. What's the big deal? Because we're in the presence of Jesus. Jesus reminded us in John 14 as he's telling his disciples, I'm not physically going to be with you anymore, but I'm going to leave you a comforter, and he will be with you, and he will guide you, and he will bless you. We read from several of the beautiful Psalms this morning. Psalm 139 is one of those that just is so powerful. Verse 7, he says this, where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Jesus says, I'm with you. I'm with you. You're not alone. Following me is a package deal. You ever think about the first two letters of the great co-mission? Anytime you do co-something with somebody, it usually is this coupled idea. We're doing this together. This is a thing that we're doing together. It's a co-effort. It's not you called to save the world. No, you're called to follow him because he's doing the saving. If you get them to follow him, it's taken care of. If you get them to recognize the authority of Jesus, they're going to do whatever he's asked to do because they want to be pleasing to him. We found it in his presence. I think about it like this. In sports, we used to talk about getting really excited or getting amped up. That was one of those phrases. We want to be amped about something, you know. Chris, I can get you to come up. You know, I got a picture of you barbecuing and you're holding your tongs up like this and you're like, you're fired up about flaming some pork, you know, and putting that out for the masses. I should have put that up there, but we get excited about lots of things. I mean, even we mentioned it this morning, it's football time in Tennessee. Or maybe you're a Roll Tide fan or even a few Clemson people. You know, people like start going crazy, you know, about all this stuff. We get amped about a lot of things, but Are we truly passionate? Are we amped about following Jesus? About being a disciple of Jesus? Of taking his message next door? About having his presence with us, that when I go out and when I'm sitting at home this afternoon or when I'm visiting with somebody else next weekend, I'm with Jesus. He's with me. Romans 10:14 in the New Century says this, before people can ask the Lord for help, they must believe in him. Before they can believe in him, they must hear about him. And for them to hear about the Lord, someone must tell them. A lot of times we think about this idea. We talk a lot about the second coming of Christ. And I love what J. Oswald Sanders Smith says. He says this. He says, we talk of the second coming when most people have never heard of the first. What a great opportunity it is for us to be able to introduce somebody to Jesus. One of my favorite quotes was this idea. In life, as a follower of Jesus, as a disciple, either you're a missionary or you're still a mission. See, because until you've realized this is who I am called to be, it's not just a jersey that I'm going to put on because I'm a Christian, I'm a fan of the Titans, or I'm a fan of Jesus Christ. No, I am a follower, and I'm trying to do and be like him in everything I do. Maybe this morning you're looking at your life and you're like, I'm ready to start in those footsteps. I'm ready to take my lead from the Son of God. I want to be like him. I want to live like him. I want to be his disciple. You know, we went back to that verse and you think about all of the verbs that you guys shouted out and said, but they all plugged into this idea of make disciples. When Jesus called his disciples to go make, what did he say? He said, you would teach people. Part of being a disciple of Jesus is learning about Jesus. Part of being a disciple of Jesus is baptizing others into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We see that beautiful picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Part of being a disciple is never stop learning what this looks like more and more and more, so that we can honor Him. And whatever we do, in word or deed, we do it all to the glory of our Heavenly Father. This morning, if we can be of any encouragement to you, if there's any way we can help you, pray for you, we'll have our elders around the room. If you want to go pray privately with them, go back there during this song. If you want to come to the front and pray and ask the congregation for requests, or maybe today's the day that you decide to put on Christ in baptism, that you decide to start your new life following Him. If there's any way we can help you do that, won't you come as we stand together and as we sing.